The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition of the podcast. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Stuart Beasley, Mick Norton and Ollie Pimlott will be in the studio, so tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mick Norton to look ahead to the action. How are you, Mick?
Good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Glad to hear it, Mick. I think you might be on that microphone though.
I think I am, yes.
Yes, it's a great start to the podcast, but we will soldier on. Plenty to talk about as well, mate. We've got Christmas coming up and then all that good racing that comes up after Christmas as well. Just in terms of news stories, I suppose the big one from yesterday or the last couple of days is that Simon Sigg will be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and Puffin Billy, another horse on the sidelines as well.
Just, a lot of trouble
as well, declared to run today, and yesterday, sort of lunchtime-ish, was hit with a bout of colic, and as we speak, fighting for his life. The trouble, you know, can operate successfully, but peritonitis can easily seep into the system, which, you know, can cause an infection and can be prove fatal. So let's wish him the best of luck. And I think Simon Sigg is more precautionary than a bad injury.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sure we'll see him back in due course. But best wishes to Puffin Billy.
Yes. From what I read the other day, he was in a bit of a critical condition or something.
Well,
on Friday
evening,
which is
colic,
terrible, isn't it?
Colic. Horses have such a low pain threshold, Mark, that their physiological systems can't handle much pain, and their heart gives out at a certain level. Some horses have a higher pain barrier than others, but it's not a huge differential, and their hearts can just give up the ghost, as it were.
Okay, well, we wish both of those horses well, of course. The Christmas stuff, the biggest race is the King George, obviously, but after that, the day after, we could still see Sayed Agrugi take on Sprinter Sacra, which would be a nice clash to see.
Certainly would brighten up that day, wouldn't it, as well? And they were tempted to give him a swerve, but I think they are talking more positively. It'd be great to see, actually, wouldn't it? It's nice to see him back in a race course, but we just don't want to see him canting around beating vastly inferior horses where, you know, Sayed Agrugi isn't, is he? Definitely. So it would be great if he did turn up and certainly brighten up that that card.
Yeah, and
on Friday.
Yeah, and £80,000 on offer now after the there was a £20,000 increase to the William Hill Desert Orchid Chase.
Absolutely,
so that's
good
news as well. The King George, Mick, we must discuss the King
George.
Yeah,
absolutely. And if they all stand the ground, which it looks as if they are, because most of the, you know, the top horses have jocked up, aren't they? Alpha Off, Daryl Jacobs jocked up, Champions Court, Ian Popham, Q Card, Joe Tizard, Dynast, Tom Scudamore, Long Run back for another go with Sam on board, and interesting, Gordon Elliott sending over Mount Bulbin by the look of it. With Danny Mullins jocked up for him. Barry Garrity on Riverside Theatre, great to see him win in Huntingdon the other day after all his trials and tribulations. And Silvaniaco Conti, Noel Philly's jocked up for that. So Paul Nicholl's going to be double-handed in a race that he virtually farmed not so long since.
Yes, we've got betting on site as well. Q Card is the 11-4 favourite. Dynast 100-30. Alpha Off 4-1. Silvaniaco Conti is 6s. It's 10-1 about Captain Chris. Long Run 12s. Mount Bulbin. Ben Bulbin is at 14-1. It's then 33s for Menorah. Champion Court 40-1. And Prance de Beauchene is the 66-1 outsider.
It's too close to call, really, isn't it? You just get the feeling it could be Alpha Offshore, don't you? I do, anyway. And anyway, it's going to be a cracker, whatever.
Yeah, it will be. And listeners, it's your chance to get involved as well. You can tell us who you think will win the King George if you tweet at Will Hill Racing. Tell us who you think will win the race with the hashtag WHKG. If you pick out the correct winner, your name will go into a hat and you'll have a chance to win one of four free £50 bets. So why not get involved? At Will Hill Racing and hashtag WHKG. Get involved, tell us who you think will win at the King George. Free bet for Christmas.
Absolutely.
That'll be all right, won't it?
Yeah, certainly will.
Anyway, let's move on, Mick. Let's look at Sunday's stuff.
Well, we've got to touch on Hurricane Fly, of course, taking on Our Connor, the younger generation taking on the reigning champ, which should shed some light on the whether O'Connor at the tender age of four can bridge that gap. Very impressive Triumph Hurdle winner, and should be all the better for his reappearance run the other day. And fascinating clash of the generations there.
It is,
that's
yeah.
in the Ryanair Hurdle on Sunday the 29th. And don't forget, you know, that great Leopardstown Christmas Festival kicks off on Boxing Day and goes right through until the end of the week. But also in tandem with that is a good card in Limerick. Now, what you want to be watching out for in Limerick all week is any of the jockeys who you think, why isn't he riding at Leopardstown?
Yeah.
And take notes. Say, like, Paul Townend suddenly disappears off the Leopardstown radar and turns up Limerick for a few. Things like that. Maybe Andrew Lynch or someone like that. Jockeys who you would expect to be at Leopardstown. If they suddenly turn up at Limerick, just have a look and see what they've gone for. And that I've managed to back a few winners that way down the years doing that on that Christmas spell in Ireland. It's easy to miss because there's so much going on, Mark.
Yeah.
But it's certainly worth a second look. Just see, what's he doing there? You know, that sort of, have a look at it and just see if anything catches your eye.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's equivalent of like seeing Cheltenham being on and then one of the bigger jockeys going to a small meeting.
Exactly the same scenario.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's move on to Sunday's racing then. We're going to look at a couple of races on the Lingfield all-weather and one of the jumpers as well at Bangor.
It should have been Jumps card, best be said, Mark, hadn't it? But the Jumps track has succumbed to the water logging. And so they've put on a hastily arranged all-weather card. Slightly bizarre, it gets underway with two bumpers that haven't significantly filled. But we have got a Class 3 handicap at 2:30 and a Class 4 at 3 o'clock. Both races of note, I think.
So we'll start with those two. The 2:30 is the first we're going to look at. It's a handicap over 7 furlongs. This is the Class 3 handicap. And we've got 10 of them in the lineup, so at least the field's held up fairly well for this one.
Well, this is a really good race, this, Mark, this 7 furlong contest. Obvious starting point, I think, is the 3-year-old Noble Deed, having his first start for Michael Atwater since being bought out of the William Haggas stable. And when you think that as recently as June, this horse was only rated 73. He's now got a rating of 90. Just shows you how much he's progressed in the last 6 months. This is his first run in the 90s, but he is still comparatively lightly raced and is okay, fresh as well. So that 134-day absence since his last start, which I think he should have won. It was in the Sugar Cup meeting at Ascot, one of the American lady riders rode him, and I think he should have won that day myself. But this is his first start in the 90s, and he is down from grade 2 into grade 3, and he has got one good effort on the Polytrack from only two starts on the Polytrack to his name. I wouldn't put anybody off backing him, but I'm going to oppose him.
Okay.
I'll just spin through a few more, then we'll go on to the one I'm going for. Kapil Leath, the last time out winner, and he's won two of his last five. A recent form revival, but I think that form revival was down to the drop to Class 5 and 6 claiming company.
Yeah.
And this return to Class 3 handicap, a competitive one at that, requires plenty more. Although, technically, he's well handicapped, Mark, but you know, he struggled in handicaps prior to that little revival in claiming. I think he's going to find life tougher, but he's going to take a chunk out of the market, whatever. Canat, another one who's been in good form, trained by Amy Weaver, Louis Stewart, Michael Bell's promising apprentice, taking off 7. He's 3 from 9 on the artificial surface. £9 higher than the last win. That was in Class 5, so a bit more required up to Class 3, I think, now that he's rated 79. So that leaves me with the with a selection. I'm hoping for a bit of a price about this, and it's called Nassau Storm, trimmed by William Knight, Jim Crowley in the saddle. Jim's both of Nassau Storm's career wins have come with Crowley on board. He's gone close in very good company in the last three runs, much better than the form figures might suggest, including an excellent close fifth behind Tashri, who runs in listed company at Lingfield on Saturday. And there was one bit of form that really stood out. He's racing off an 83 Nassau Storm. He was only beaten a neck by Belgian Bill at Kempton off a mark of 89 in October 2012. He's got a really well handicapped look about him. He's going to be a prize with quite a few of these. They're going to be falling over themselves to get on the likes of Noble Deed, etc. I think Nassau Storm might be neglected in the market, and hopefully he'll reward each way support.
Yeah, and around the same time as when he placed off 89, he won off 84 at Ascot as well. So he's on a decent mark.
He's versatile as regards. Mm. He hasn't got a huge preference for turf or polytrack. He seems to be equally as effective on both. So if he can come back to anything like that sort of level of form, and as I say, Jim was on board both of his wins. He rides him again on Sunday. And I'm anticipating a good run at a good price.
Good. Nassau Storm then in the 2:30 at Lingfield. On to the 3 o'clock next. And this one is a handicap for the stayers. It's over 2 miles. And nine of them in the lineup here, Mick. Which stayers caught your eye here?
Well, we'll start with Spirit of Tomintoul, who has his first start for Tony Carroll since leaving Lady Cecil. He's got form fresh. He's now got to go and do it in the 80s for his new yard. And it's probably worth remembering, he's got a mark of 85 now. He was a beaten favourite with Frankie on board off 80 at Newmarket in August. But he has won and been second on both of his polytrack starts. And we know that 2 miles is no problem to him. Again, I wouldn't put anybody off backing him. But I'm going to look for something else. Scottish Boogie, he's won two of its last four. George Baker riding for Seamus Durack. Stepping up in trip and grade, and the marker's crept into the 80s, although on the pick of his Irish form for Charles Burns, he may well be up to winning in the 80s, but I think he's going to have to find that little bit of improvement for the step up in trip if he's going to win this off 81. And that leads me on to the selection in this 3 o'clock, and it's Norfolk Sky, who's getting weight off the field, a filly by Haft, trained by Laura Mongan, Fergus Sweeney in the saddle, former course winner, won over 2 miles at Kempton last time, only had two starts over this trip, Mark, finished second on the first try at the trip, ran into one, and won really well at Kempton over this trip last time. Up £6, so has to do it in the 70s after going up £6 for the last win off 67. But looked very well suited on the last twice by the step up to this trip, and is relatively unexposed as a stayer, and again should be a decent price. We've got nine declared, so hopefully they stand the ground, and Norfolk Sky can be sort of 5 or 6 to 1-ish for us, and another one with very solid each way credentials.
Okay, Norfolk Sky then in the 3 o'clock at Lingfield, and over jumps we go for the 3:10 at Bangor, and this is a 3 mile handicap hurdle. It's for one of the Sunday 5k bonus races, so the field has held up. It's 13 runners in the field at the moment, and Knight of Passion likely to be the market leader after bolting up on Monday, Mick.
Absolutely, she's the obvious starting point, and she's the obvious finishing point for me. That penalty of £7 wouldn't have stopped her at Plumpton. She absolutely relished that extreme stamina test last time, and she's going to get another one here, and heavyish ground at Bangor. I think she's going to go in again. This is only her eighth career start on Sunday, Mark, and she showed plenty of improvement for the step up in trip last week at Plumpton. Didn't have to exert herself to win, so the quick turnaround of 6 days doesn't bother me. As I say, the penalty wouldn't have stopped her, and I don't think it's going to stop her on Sunday either. A couple of others to talk about in the race, more speculative than hopeful, if you like. Golden Calf, trained by Peter Bowen, Jimmy Moore taking the ride, showed next to nothing in two hurdle races to date, and the mark of 100 not tempting, but did manage to win a point to point, and it wouldn't be the greatest surprise to see him improve as he goes handicapping. The same almost applies to Bob Keown, who was second in an Irish maiden point to point in April, changed hands for €30,000 later in the month, but again has been beaten a long way on both of his hurdle starts, and once again the mark of 98 doesn't exactly jump off the page at you for what he's achieved over hurdles, but he could improve for handicapping because he's in the right hand, Rebecca Curtis, and Paul O'Brien can take off £10 being attached to the yard. And the only other one I'm going to mention is Radical Impact, who gets weight from the field. Aidan Coleman rides for Venetia Williams. Full brother to Roland Sun Alliance Chase winner Cool Down, but has looked a real slow coach to date. But at least he has a mark to match of 74 and was actually well backed on his handicap debut last time. So it'll be interesting to see if the cash arrives again. We didn't see an awful lot of improvement for his handicap debut, but interesting the cash did come. He gets weight off the field, but I can't see him beating Night of Passion on these terms, and I can't see any of them beating Night of Passion on these terms either, Mark.
Yeah, okay, Night of Passion then. Very strong selection in the 3.10 at Bangor. Let's just have a quick summary of your three, though, Mick, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, Mark, in the 2.30 at Lingfield, I like the look of Nassau Storm. I think it'll represent a bit of value in a race where I think they'll be falling over themselves to get on one or two of these. In the 3 o'clock at Lingfield, another trappy contest, but Norfolk Sky will do for me. She's looked as though this is her forte, these stamina trips, and I think she's going to play a big part in that. And over at Bangor, the one jumping race that we're previewing, Night of Passion looks nailed on to defy the £6 penalty in the 3.10.
OK, good work, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Will do, Mark. I'll be in to have a look and see what happens to them.
Yes, you're punting on Sunday.
I am, actually, yes. Yeah. Yes. I've got Ollie Pimlott and Stuart Beasley in with me.
Yes, so join that team on Sunday. They'll be live from 12:10 p.m. And the meetings are Lingfield and Bangor domestically. We have Irish Racing from Thurles as well. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.